I'd like to give you this introduction. I have only 5 pages, so I'll just read this slowly. All right. So, I grew up in the Philippines, and I can still remember at age 7 to 8 years old. I was still 7, 8 years old. I used to go with my father to our fish pond. And as a young boy, that was really fun, catching fish using a net or a basket or even a hook and a line. I could literally see the tilapia swallowing my bait and the excitement of pulling up the line. Many times in the year, we have to lower the water level so the fish will congregate in one little area, and all we need to do is go down to the muddy pond and catch them with our hands. So it was also fun harvesting the fish that way. But one of the challenging experiences was going with my father in the middle of the night, probably 8 p.m. towards the following morning. This time we need to harvest the shrimps that way, because during that time there was no technology in farming shrimps, unlike today that this is so fast. We would reduce the water level, and around 10 p.m., my father would bring me around the pond to show me where the shrimps are heading towards the catch basin. So we would know it because the head of the shrimp would glow in the night like a tiny light bulb. So as they are, moving with the water. After that, we have to wait for more hours until the water level is really low. My father would tell me, rest here in the small shed while I go adjust the water gates. By the time he comes back, I was already deep in sleep. Many times he would wake me up because I know he wanted me to experience harvesting shrimps. But doing it in the middle of the night was too much for me as a young boy. My body language would tell him, that I am really not capable of doing that. So I realized later that my father wanted me to teach something and demonstrate to me how to be a fish farmer. But it was a demanding task, almost impossible for me to do that at that time. So he was enforcing his demands so I could be like him, to follow his footsteps as a fish farmer. So today, this morning, I want to share with you what our Lord demands from us if we are to follow him as a disciple. If we are to pursue God, we need to understand and count the cost of being a disciple. This morning, we need to ask ourselves, am I really a true believer, a true Christian? And if you are not a believer yet the question is, what would it take to become a Christ believer? Before we answer this question, let's read our passage, which is found in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 27. So let me read in the English Standard Version. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Verse 25. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed, when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Okay, so as the background, the disciples of the Lord Jesus started with hearing the Sermon of the Mount. If you read through the previous verses, they believed what he preached. They believed on his deity. They saw the many miracles God performed. They were healed from their sickness. They saw in one instance that 5,000 people were fed with just 2 loaves of bread. In other words, they experienced the goodness of the Lord right from the start of their Christian journey. And it sounds familiar to us, right? As they watched Jesus doing all these good things, many of them came looking for him. Wherever he goes, they were looking for Jesus. So there's a story in the book of John, in John chapter 6, and I want you to turn to that verse. John chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. We have to turn several pages in the Bible today. I'm sorry we don't have a slide, but I'll try my best. John chapter 6, verse 24. John chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went into Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Boy, that's hurting a little bit. And verse 27, if I move forward, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." So these people have been looking for Jesus for the wrong reason, right? But this moment, the moment of truth has come to these followers of Jesus. I think the honeymoon stage is over, because they've been eating, you know, going that the Lord healed all their diseases. That's what it's written here, all their sickness. Now Jesus have to teach them the cost of being a disciple or a follower of Jesus. First, he told them what would happen to him in the future, in the near future. In the verses above our text in Luke chapter 9, you would see, if you read above, Luke 9, verse 21, you would see here what Jesus was saying. He says here, "And he strictly charged and commanded them not to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." So Jesus was already telling them what would happen to him, that he's going to be crucified. Then after that, in verse 23, our text today, he told them his demands in order to follow him. I would like to dissect the words of this verse 23. So that's where we're going to focus on that, because this will be our main verse or the key verse today. So verse 23, he said, "And he said to all." So all means not just the 12 disciples, but to all that were listening. So it means there is no exemption to this command. It's not just for the 12 disciples. It's for everybody listening, and even now, today. Discipleship is demanded to everyone who wants to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to explain that later on, why Jesus is demanding this very stringent requirement. Those words, "If anyone would come after me," means you are pursuing, you are looking after, you are going after Jesus Christ. You are pursuing. If you have tasted the goodness of the Lord, you would want to follow him, right? Who would not want to follow Jesus when they saw him as one with the words of God and teaching with authority? I mean, the scribes during that time, the day of Jesus, they have all sorts of teachings. They have scribes, Pharisees and Sadducees and all Hellenists and all kinds of religion, just like today. And we need some teaching that is true, you know, one that is really stable, not changing, shifting. Who would not follow Jesus when they saw him as one with compassion for the people? And I would like to read this verse in Matthew 9, verse, you don't need to open there. Matthew 9, verse 35 to 36, this is what Jesus said. "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and healing every sickness and disease." Verse 36, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then, thirdly, who would not follow Jesus when they saw him as one with a clear purpose in life? Jesus said in John 4, verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." That's all he's doing. He's focused on the will of the Heavenly Father. A man like that, that's what I would like to follow. Man with a clear purpose. What about you? Who do you follow today in the social media? Facebook, you say, "Oh, Pablito is following who?" Have you not seen it? You know, who do you follow today? It's a question that only us can answer. And then the next one, the words, "Let him," because he said, and he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him." Let him means it is a personal decision. You need to. That's what Jesus was telling us. You need to let him, a personal choice. Sometimes we make our choice based on what's popular or famous. We tend to follow another's opinion. But Abraham, one of the greatest men that ever lived on this earth, is a person that made a personal choice to believe on what God said to him rather than what he believes about himself. I think it would be worthwhile to remember him in this study because the first important requirement to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus is in the next line, which says here, "Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Those two requirements are heavy, and that's what we are going to study this morning. So the words "deny self," that's the first requirement, the first demand, means denying personal control of one's life. Now, that is really unpopular, especially in our culture today, because everyone wants to figure out everything for their lives. You know, I could see that in the insurance companies. You have to insure this, you have to insure this, you have to insure this. Everyone wants to figure it out. Okay, now everything all set up and done. Good. But there are so many variables in life. Okay, so it is self-denial means we let go of ourselves to determine our future and replacing it with obedience and dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. We allow him to take full control over our lives. That's self-denial. As our brother Rick always mentioned in his prayers, help us to die to ourselves. Meaning, what is that? To die to ourselves. Unless we lay down our self-will to Jesus Christ, we can never be the disciple the Lord wants, because that will stand in the way. It will be difficult for you and him. These words are mentioned by Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 14, verse 26. I'd like you to turn there because this is also a very important verse. Luke 14, yes, to your right, Luke 14, 26. Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." You hear that? If we don't hate ourselves, we cannot be Jesus' disciple. That's really tough. But that's the requirement. We should not misunderstand what Jesus was saying here. We are not to ignore them, but we are to honor our parents. Right, because that's also a commandment, Ephesians. We are to love our family, our siblings, but what he's saying here is we should be willing to let go of our loved ones if they stand in the way as we follow Jesus. And many of us experience that, when that time will happen in your life, you have to choose whether you obey your parents or God who is calling you. This principle also applies to our relationships with other people. It could be your boyfriend, girlfriend. It could be your coworker, or jobs, or vocation, or whatever you are doing that stands in the way in your pursuit of God. We must be willing to let go of this. As a vessel, talking about the vessel, when we empty out ourselves, we allow God to fill the right things in our lives. So it's kind of, you know, you deny yourself, you empty out yourself, so that the good things from God will come in. If we are to make an assessment of our lives, how much garbage can be taken out of our lives? Now, there are examples in the Bible of people who deny themselves. And let's see what happens to them. So Jesus himself, in John chapter 5, verse 30, I'd like to read this for you, so we don't have to waste your time. John chapter 5, verse 30 says, "I can do nothing on my own. Sorry. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So, Jesus did not seek for his own pleasure. He says, "I can do nothing on my own. I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who sent him." And then what about Paul? In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, it says here, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." So again, Paul is very focused in life. And what is his focus? He said, "I consider my life worth nothing." Meaning, he's okay if he has so many discomforts in life. He's in prison or what? He's so laser focused on the will of God for his life, denying himself. So his life is worth nothing, according to him. That is really radical. If we look at our lives that way. And the Lord bless them. Now, what about Peter and the other apostles? And I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 18. So just write further on your Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 30. There's a story here about the rich young ruler. So this is the story, beginning in verse 18 up to verse 30. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. "And a ruler asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother.' And the young man said, 'All this I have kept from my youth.' When Jesus heard this, he said to him, 'One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, 'How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' Those who heard it said, 'Then who can be saved?' But he said, 'What is impossible with man is possible with God.' And Peter said, 'See, we have left everything. We have left homes and followed you.' And he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life.'" So this story about the young man who who just, you know, would refuse to follow Jesus because he had great wealth. And that great wealth, his love for his wealth is standing in the way for him to follow Jesus. He was sad because he could not, how he wished, like he was probably clenching his fist, how I wish I want to follow Jesus, but, you know. So that thing that he loved was standing in the way. You know, in our walk with the Lord, he is faithfully providing for our needs and even those things that we did not ask. We just taking it for granted. Like, you know, there's so many things that we take it for granted. We don't know that the Lord was protecting us while we are driving through. You know, how many times I almost, you know, miss something, you know, I could be hit by that vehicle. You know, but the Lord just granted provision and protection for all of us. But when the Lord calls us to a certain direction or certain task, he expects us to let go of any hindrance to follow him. The Lord knew the rich young man's love for his wealth is a hindrance in following him. That's why he was told, lay down those things and come follow me. Because that will stand in the way if you don't lay that down. I hope that we don't misunderstood God and say, Lord, you are very killjoy or you don't like me to be blessed. No, the Lord wanted to bless us, but if it stands in the way, then the Lord wanted us to be taken out in our lives. Next, in going back to verse 23 of Luke chapter 9, the next very important demand is, he said, and take up his cross daily. So to deny self is something to put away. If you deny something, you put away for Christ's sake, right? But to take up a cross daily is something to take up and bear for Christ. So what I love about the principles of God is whenever you take out something, you need to fill that up or you need to take up something also back to you. So when God says, okay, you put away these things that are bad and put on these things that are good. You would always see that principle of God wherever you find the verses. So what is this cross that Jesus is talking here? What is this cross? Don't look at your wife or your husband and say, oh, hey, there is my cross daily. Or your son, daughter. For Jesus, he was referring to his crucifixion. We know that. But for us, it is a shocking metaphor for discipleship, actually, to take up our cross. This is also mentioned again by our Lord in Luke 14, verse 27. I think we read that one. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For us disciples, the cross symbolizes hardship and suffering that we take up and carry daily for the sake of Christ. So I'm talking here about for the sake of Christ. Because some people are carrying suffering because of their own wrong decisions in life. We're talking here about suffering for the sake of Christ. This command teaches us that trials and hardships will arise because our self-will will oppose to the will of God. This shows that the daily bearing of the cross chiefly consists in the daily denying of self. So they both go together. So that is why, have you ever tried to assemble a, like from Home Depot or Amazon, and then there's a steps like step one, step two, step three, and then you miss something while you're in the middle, you're on step five, oh, I missed this thing. So you have to go back because you can't, you know. So this is the same thing here. Like if you are struggling with taking up your cross daily, probably because you are not denying the self. So that's how it works. So facing our troubles in this life cannot be avoided. It is inevitable. Jesus said that in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. And I'd like to add, because why we need Jesus' peace? Because he says here, in the world you will have tribulation. or troubles. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Bearing our cross is not an option, actually, not an option, because you would see later on that you are choosing between life and death. You're choosing between being a disciple or not. It can't be in the middle. Bearing a cross is not an option. Jesus' calls to discipleship demands it. We need endurance also to carry our cross. Now, I'd like you to open your Bibles to the right. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we did this Bible study last Friday. So I think it just ties in nicely here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 up to verse 21. And this is what says here. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. And verse 21, this is a very important verse. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. So, you would see in this verse, it's an example of when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. Verse 21, in a nutshell, we are called to suffer. Now, that is very unpopular. I see a frowning face of Stephen, you know. We are called to suffer. And again, I said, I'd like to add, suffer for the sake of Christ. Just as Christ suffered for us, Christ suffered for us, we need to suffer for others. And in this example, it's about the servant and the master. And in our present situation, it'll be employee-employer relationship, or both manager and subordinates relationship. We need to suffer if we need to, because of our belief in God, because we want to honor God in that relationship that we have. In this example, employer-employee relationship. Now, I hope you're still there, and shall we continue? Because it's getting very hard, you know, suffering. Now, the next one is the word follow me. Let's go back to chapter 9, verse 23. Deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So follow me. So you see, to deny self is something to put away for Christ's sake. To take up cross daily is something to take up and bear for Christ. And to follow is something we actively do for Christ's sake. Actively do. Command number three, or demand number three, is where we're going to be always ready when God demands our time to do something. God cannot use a person that is not available. No matter how good you are, or how spiritual you are, or how gifted you are, God cannot use you if you are not available. So the phrase or word follow me occurs many times in the New Testament, the follow me thing. It means that Jesus emphasized its significance. Because if we don't follow Jesus Christ, whom are we following? You know, you might be going out in the dark. Someday you will be drifting in your faith and your walk with God. So the call to follow Jesus demands our spontaneous response, actually. We see this in the life of his early disciples. And let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Verse 18. There's a story here about the disciples, the early disciples, or the early life of the disciples in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Verse 22, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So in that story, the early disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John, when Jesus called them, immediately they followed. That was the response. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So when God calls us to follow him, it means two things. He wants us to become a person that makes disciples. In fact, that is also a command, not just for them, but to all of us, because there is a great commandment or a great commission in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Remember that verse? It's, go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have told you, and I will be with you till the end of the world. So, there is that verse that we are to become disciples in order to disciple others. Yeah, that's how it works, you know. Because as they grow, a disciple is a person that is being taught or trained. A discipler is someone that you are allowing him to guide him until he will see Jesus, until he will follow Jesus. That's what a discipler is. So when he says here, fishers of men, I will make you fishers of men, that's what he is referring to. But it can also mean here, he is calling us to work within our area of influence. You see, Jesus called Peter, James, and John, I will make you fishers of men. So there's the terminology he's using. Peter and John, they are familiar because they are fishermen. So the point here is God is calling us, whatever our talent is, and you're going to use your talent, you're going to use wherever you are in your life to become a disciple and a discipler. Now, contrast these people to the response from a set of people whom Jesus called to follow him. There's a set of people that Jesus was also calling. And who are these people? Let's look at them. Luke chapter 9. So it's just in that same chapter. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. So in verse 57, let's read this. 57 to 62. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So, the first one says, I will follow you wherever you go. Really? Jesus is saying, actually, he has nowhere to lay his head. Better are the foxes and the birds. They have nests, they have holes. So if we apply this principle today, it means we will encounter inconveniences in life while serving the Lord. And I could imagine those missionaries that goes to Africa who doesn't have the comforts that we have here in America. So it's really true that in the ministry, you will encounter, even here in the U.S., you know, the ministers that are doing things, except those that are really flying with the private jets, they are exemptions. They are not suffering. But here you see that This is the real work. The real work requires us to count that cost. So the lesson for this man is you count the cost before following Christ. And here we are, we're trying to count the cost of following Jesus, what it takes to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. The second one said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and bury my father. So attending to our loved ones is a legit endeavor, but when God demands our time and resources, he takes priority. That is also hard. We can easily slip into that principle. No problem. The Lord understands. I'll just go this way. Lord, maybe later I'll follow you, but this time, no. I know you will understand me. But we will find later on that we will be at the losing end because we will be counting, and we can't be sure you gain. Because if we count this life and then we lose, then how foolish we are. This man's priority is himself over God's. But the lessons learned for this man is not an easy one. The test for our true love for God will happen when we are willing to let go of our own self. And especially if the demand is so close to us. Like Abraham, it's a good example. When he offered his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God, his one and only son. Because being his only son, he was able to let go of his own desire to have children. So he was able to, remember, I think everybody here knows the story. I don't need to repeat that or to read through the verses there. That he offered his son Isaac, his only son, and that is like kind of their hope, you know, kind of, you know, that is where his lineage will continue. So now God was demanding him to bring Isaac to the sacrifice. Kill. Sacrifice means you have to kill. Die. No more. No more children. No more opportunity or hope for him to have a lineage or to have descendants. So it's an example that we need. If we are into that position, we have to be willing. But for this man, how did he come into this difficult situation? How did he come into that is so unfortunate? He wanted to follow Jesus, but he needs to bury his father. Perhaps he was ignoring previous opportunities to follow Jesus with trivial cases like, oh, I can't be at the Sermon on the Mount, Lord Jesus, while you are there because it's raining and dusty like the Permian Basin. Or I can join them in house fellowships because I'm tired of walking to the place. Oh, no. We're not walking here. We are riding, right? The vehicle is tired. No, sorry. The vehicle is okay, but the person is tired. We can't hear the voice of God in a gentle whisper. Someday, he will need to use a megaphone to get our attention. For this man, death in the family is God's megaphone. We are not sure if the man followed Jesus after he told him, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, why did Jesus say those words? Because I believe that God being God, he is sovereign over all. If we're going to follow Jesus Christ, he's going to take care of us. He's using this the word, let the dead. If you follow me, I can summon the dead people to bury their own dead. God can use the hawks or to feed Elijah. God can use anyone to take care of us, of our needs, if only we follow Jesus Christ. I think that's the message for this man. The third person says, I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me say farewell to those at my house. So the second and third man both have placed conditions in their following of Jesus Christ. Because said, Lord, but I have a condition. let me do these things first before I can follow you really. The me in this verse stands in the way. The me is the self, right? The self is still on the throne of his life. For this man, he needs to understand that discipleship is a commitment to pursue God. Looking back is a sign that he is undecided. Jesus points out that the kingdom of God has no room for those who look back when they are called to go forward. So we have seen so far that the three demands or commands for discipleship is quite hard to obey, right? Quite hard. I don't want you to leave this room with a heavy load to carry. I don't want you to say, oh, maybe Pastor Steve will come back here. What happened to the people? Oh, they don't follow. No, I did not do anything. Steve, Pastor Steve, I'm just telling them the words of God. We would realize in the next four verses, and this is the nice thing, we would realize in the next four verses that we would gain so much if we follow Jesus as a disciple. Again, I'm telling you that we are counting the cost here, but we make sure that we gain, right? We want to lose. This is not the place for losers. It's a place for gainers, for victorious people. Amen? So there are three reasons why we must deny self, take up a cross daily, and follow Jesus. Wow, I love it because there's three demands. There's also three reasons. The number one reason is found in verse 24. And what does it say here in verse 24? For. So the word for meaning, so this is the reason for. Because whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So the first part of verse 24, for whoever saves his life will lose it. What it means is whoever lives a self-centered life, focused on this present world, will not find eternal life with God. This is the danger of self-preservation. You want to, that's the human tendency, you know, self-preservation. We are bent on preserving ourselves rather than trusting the Lord. Self-centered people are the opposite to those that deny themselves. The world wanted you to believe that you alone is the captain of your own life, that you can chart your own course with some help from God, some help from God, some help from a philosophy or a theory. So, but the second part of verse 24 says, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Whoever gives up his self-centered life for the sake of Christ and the gospel will find everlasting life with God. This is what it means here. It means that those that deny themselves are committing everything to the will of God. Going after the will of God is their sole purpose and desire in their lives. After the will, like the Lord Jesus Christ, like Paul, their main pursuit in life is really to, their main focus really to go after the will of the Lord in their lives. And Jesus made a beautiful promise for those who give up their lives for the sake of him. Let's read Mark chapter 10, verse 28 and 30. I think it's the same story, but let's just read these verses nicely. Mark chapter 10, verse 28 to 30. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life." Wow. So if you carefully read those verses, there's one that's really sticking in my mind and head. There's still, even though Jesus said that, you know, if we deny ourselves, you know, we forgo those benefits of having houses or children or wife for the sake of me, you will never lose your reward. That's what he's saying. 100-fold blessings in return. But then he says here, now in this time, in verse 30, houses and residences and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. There's still some persecutions there. And in the age to come, eternal life. Well, that's how I see that verse. But we should not be worried about persecutions. We are ready for it when we commit ourselves to the Lord. You know, that's part of the suffering I'm talking about, the persecutions. So going back to Luke chapter 9. So the second reason why we need to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him is found in verse 25. What does it say there? For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Some commentators put it this way. The wealth of the whole world is not enough to buy a precious soul like you. This is not exaggeration. This is the reality of our being. And we read that in the message of Pastor Steve about who we are. Who are made in the image of God. People love worldly system. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. They are drawn to it for the rest of their lives, without achieving fulfillment to any of those three desires. Nobody ever achieved total, complete satisfaction. These desires cannot be fully satisfied. King Solomon tried those. Girls, gold, government power. But all of this is vanity to him. So, you would see that these desires will not give us total satisfaction if we pursue those things, worldly system. So the third reason why we must deny self, take up our cross daily and follow him is found in the last two verses, 26 and 27. It says here, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. So as a disciple means that we have to associate ourselves with someone who was despised and executed, like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need, as a disciple, we need to identify ourselves to that reality that we have a suffering Savior, that he died not a good kind of death, but it's an honor to be like that. But if we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. That's what this verse is telling us. It's a warning also. Finally, verse 27 says there, but I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. So after this extreme call to follow Jesus even unto death, he added a promise of significant glory. Because it says it, until they see the kingdom of God. Jesus wanted them to know that it wasn't all suffering and death. The end of it all wasn't death. So we might be suffering today, we might be suffering in the next days or months or years. But our story in this world will not end in suffering. So we can conclude that the price to pay to follow Jesus is very expensive. But the return of investment is also enormous. Someday we will be with the Lord forever and ever. Someday we will receive our reward in heaven. Someday our Heavenly Father would welcome us with his words, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. And finally, John chapter 12, verse 26. You don't have to turn there. This is what he says there. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So there is no greater joy than to be honored by the Heavenly Father. This alone can encourage us to follow Jesus.